I'm going to start in Genesis 37, you'll see where I'm headed here in just a little bit. Let me just mention, I did not bring a lot of books this time. I did bring a few. I brought some of the children's books because I know it's near to Christmas and some of you are looking for things like that. If you sign up for the sword while I'm here today, I think some of you have probably seen, because Pastor's had some of these he's been giving out. I did a book last year called Yes, the Bible Speaks, and it's a good resource. You wonder, well, what does the Bible say about this or that? Well, I picked out 61 topics and printed Bible under that topic, and that's a good help for all of us. It's an easy reference to find out what the Bible says on a variety of subjects. And if you sign up for the paper, $20 for the year, which is the regular price, you get 24 issues of the paper, but I'll give you the book if you sign up while I'm here. Now, in the event you already have one of those, I'll have another thing or two on the table I'll substitute and give you. So you're going to get a book one way or the other. If you sign up for 2 years, I'm going to give you a hardback book. My friend Clyde Box, who's in heaven now, we did two books for him. I don't know whether you ever had Dr. Box here. He was everybody's grandpa. I'm telling you, sharp guy, amazing, amazing testimony. He was a professional gambler before he got saved. Literally was a card sharp. Unbelievable the stuff he was into, but he got saved, got converted. Pastored a church down there in Dallas for a lot of years. And near the time of his retirement, we did two books for him. And this one's entitled Glimpses of Jesus, and it is an absolutely precious book. It's easy reading. You'll enjoy it. It's inspiring, motivating. And if you sign up for 2 years, I'll give you a copy of that hardback book by Dr. Clyde Box. So let's look at Genesis 37. And I'm not going to read this entire chapter, but I will just kind of highlight it and do a little summary of it. You'll recognize it, I think, as being the chapter in which Jacob and his boys are the primary characters. And it's really, it's like a drama. I can almost close my eyes and see all of this unfolding one step at a time, one act at a time. And Jacob, as you'll remember, we have Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all those guys coming one generation after the other. And Jacob, as you will remember, he was, how shall I put it? He was just a little bit of a scalawag. He was just not exactly the model person along. And, he's got a house full of boys. There's 12 of them. And Joseph turned out, I don't know what there was about Joseph, but he was daddy's favorite boy. And daddy made a mistake in letting the other 11 boys know it. Now, you know, if you've got one child that is your favorite, I'm going to have a counseling session with you and tell you to cut that out. But at the same time, if you just can't help yourself and you got one that you think a little more of than the other, keep it to yourself. Don't let the other kids even get a hint of that. It's not a good thing to do anyway, but I'm just telling you, don't let that cat out of the bag. But Jacob, you know, being the character that he was, those older boys knew it. Now, along with this, Joseph had a couple of dreams. And I'm not sure whether he made a mistake or not, but he told them about the dreams that he had. And the dreams that he had, basically, he was saying, one of these days, I'm going to be running the show. One of these days, you guys are going to be coming to me for what you need. And that just made those other boys all the more hateful and ugly and mad. And so there comes a day here in this chapter where these older boys, they're out somewhere else taking care of some of daddy's sheep, a good ways away. And Jacob said to Joseph, he said, I need you to go over and check on the boys. Let's see how they're doing. Well, as Joseph is approaching the place where the boys are working and handling the sheep, they see him coming. And there's a verse here in this chapter that's always just, I mean, I look at it and I can't help but look at it and say, yeah. And it's verse number 19, when they saw Joseph coming, and they said one to another, "Behold, the dreamer cometh." Now, they're not trying to commend him here. I mean, this is a statement of mockery. It's a statement of hostility. But if you just let me hang on to it and kind of pull it out where I can get hold of it, I like it. Because I like folks that dream. I like folks that look beyond the day and they say, "Hey, there's something coming and I see it and I'm going to be involved in it." I like that. And I've often quoted this a little bit out of context. But if you see me coming through the front door and you push the door open and say, "Behold, the dreamer cometh," I'm going to say, "That's me." I'm going to own up to it and hurry. Because I like the thought of that. Well, all of this unfolds. And because they hated him so much, they first said, "That dude gets here." That's in the original Hebrew, "dude." they said, "When this dude gets here, we're just going to kill him. And we'll smear that coat that daddy gave him, that many-colored coat, we'll smear it with some blood and take it back and tell daddy that, you know, he got killed." Reuben, the oldest, said, "Hang on, boys. Maybe we shouldn't go that route." Well, they had a pit there. They'd probably already found it. There's a hole in the ground. And they decided to throw him into the pit. Now, let me just pause here and do a little instructing as we go. Now, you start broadcasting your dreams. You start telling people about your visions. And not everybody's going to like it. Even some of your own family may say, "What in the world are you thinking?" And you may have some folks, maybe somebody at work. I mean, there's a job opening coming, and it's a pay grade increase, and it's a position increase, and you're dreaming about that, and you share with some of the others, "I'm going to apply for that job opening that's coming." And some of them, they may find a pit to put you in. I've heard of stuff like that happening. And you may find yourself off down there somewhere and wondering what's going to happen next. Well, they threw him into the pit. And then along come some other characters, and the boys see these traitors coming, and they said, "Wait a minute, we got a better idea than this. Draw him out of there and sell him. Sell him. We'll make some money off of him." And so they sold him, knowing they were selling him to those traders who were going to go down probably and sell him again, which is what happened down in Egypt. And so, I mean, things are going from bad to worse here real fast. And I just remind you, whenever you dream, like you ought to dream good stuff, dream true stuff. I'm talking about you're thinking about where you want to go, what you want to do, how you want to accomplish it. You may wind up with critics. You may wind up with adversaries. You may wind up with all kinds of opposition. But when I talk to you about dreaming the dream, I'm running into people all over the country who've had their dreams squashed. And it's like they can't smile anymore. They're hurt. It's like, "Yeah, I wish I could do that, but I can't. I can't. I can't. I can't." Part of what I try to do, I've been at it for years, just like Brother Ross has, and others of you who have responsibilities here in front of kids and others. I've tried my best to get people who are in the can't help it mode to crawl out of that hole and begin to say, "With God's help, there are some things I can do. I can make my life count. I can amount to something, and I know God's going to help me to do that. I want to keep dreaming the dream." Some of my preacher buddies, every once in a while, one of them will say to me, or I'll say to them, they say, "How you doing?" And I'll say, "Living the dream, man, living the dream." Now, that doesn't mean everything is going 100% every day, but it does mean that I'm getting to accomplish some things that I've always wanted to do. As a teenage boy, I dreamed about being a preacher. And you can probably tell by looking, I'm not a teenager anymore. But I've dreamed that dream. And thousands of times I've done what I'm going to be privileged to do here today. I've had the privilege to get the microphone, traveled all over the country and around the world, had the privilege to preach and preach and preach, living the dream. And by the way, I'm not a teenager anymore, but I'm still excited every time somebody hands me the microphone. I'm eager for that. You know, as a teenager, I dreamed about being pastor, which I had the privilege to do for a little over 30 years. 34 years I was pastor. And in fact, when I was 16, roughly, years of age, I grew up in that county where the storms hit there at Mayfield. I grew up in that county, my home place, just 10 miles from Mayfield. And I've preached, last time I counted, I think there's 40-some Baptist churches in that county. And back then, I probably preached at least 25 of them, maybe more. Now, every time one of them got without a pastor here, I was 16, 15, 16 years of age. Every time one of them got without a pastor, I couldn't figure out why they didn't call me. I learned later they thought I was too young. But at 18 years of age, one of them did. You say, what was the matter with them? They were nuts, crazy. And so you said you took it? I did. You said, what's the matter with you? I was crazy, but I did it. Now, I dreamed about being a pastor. I wanted to do that. I just believed God wanted me to do that. So I dreamed that dream, and I was privileged to do that for a long time. I dreamed about having a wife and having a family. I met Betty first day of 10th grade. And later this month, she and I are going to celebrate our 60th anniversary. I was only 3 when she married me, you say 60 years? Yeah, I mean, we can't hardly believe it. How have y'all managed to do that? We've dreamed the dream. We've lived the dream. Now, I dreamed about that. Even though I did not grow up in a soul-winning church, I did not grow up in a church, in a group of folks that really were into it, I dreamed about winning people to Christ early on. I wasn't good at it in the early days as a teenager, but I sure was trying. Led a few of my buddies to Christ even then. Every time that I got to lead somebody to Christ, I just wanted to do more of it. I dreamed about that. Now, the Lord's allowed me and given me the privilege to see a lot of those dreams come to reality. But I stand here this morning to tell you something. I am still dreaming. I'm still dreaming. I want tomorrow to be bigger, better, and more blessed than yesterday. Now, everything doesn't have to be bigger. It doesn't have to be more to be blessed. But I'm dreaming about bigger. I'm dreaming about better. I'm dreaming about more of the blessing of God than yesterday. I want to continue to build on yesterday. I'm building on my past, on the past that's been handed to me. I'm building on that. But I want to make the year ahead as fruitful as I possibly can make it. Now, I'm looking straight ahead past Christmas, past New Year's. I'm looking into the end of the year coming. And I know you all do this here every year. Brother Ross figures out things and comes up with themes and whatever for what he wants to do and how he wants to shape the year. And you say, well, how do we get a dream and how do we dream a dream? Well, I think if we do it right, there are a few things that are required. One, it requires faith. Just believing God. That's what faith is. It's just believing God. It's whatever God has said. Just say, I believe that. I'm going to camp right there. I'm going to make my residence right there. I'm simply going to believe God. So whatever lies somebody tells you, just push the delete button. You're not going there. You know, the networks or whoever comes spewing stuff at you, just say, no. God said, and I believe what God said. And just determine, I'm going to put my faith in that. I'm going to risk it all, put everything right there. So if we do the dream that we ought to do, it'll be built on faith. And then that faith enables us to be faithful, faithfulness. Now, if we want God in on what we're doing, if we want God to bless our dream, the necessity of faithfulness. You say, what is faithfulness? It's just staying steady. It's just staying at it. It's being next Thursday what you are this morning. It's being in January what you say you are in December. Steady, just consistently, just digging in and staying at what you've said that you are and what you said you want to be. So faith is believing God. Faithfulness is staying steady with that. Now, let me acknowledge, you may get some curves thrown at you. I played a lot of baseball. And I thought I was a fairly good hitter. But every once in a while, you know, I'd face some guy. He'd throw his best fastballs. He might get a strike or two on me, foul off a couple of three or four or five of them. And then he would throw me a big, slow breaking curveball. And, that's strike three. If you don't know about baseball, throw the hard ball, throw the fastball several times. You've set the guy up for the curve. I mean, that slow breaking curve comes in, and it's going to make you look foolish unless you're expecting it. If you think, oh, this guy's got a fastball and he just keeps burning them, you get it. But he'll throw that curve at you sometimes, and you got to go back and sit down. Now, life's like that too. You may be right along, everything is coming at you, you're handling it, you're taking care of it, and then a curve comes at you. Out of the blue, something you hadn't expected, maybe a car wreck, maybe one of your kids gets hurt, I mean, comes down with something, whatever the case, something comes at you. You say, what do I do when the curve comes? Well, let's back up. Number one, we're going to believe God. We're going to trust God. We're going to remember what He said and not leave off from that. And then we're going to do just as steady, just as consistent the day of the curve as we did the day before it. You say, what does that really amount to? It means we're still going to show up Wednesday night for church. It means we're still going to be in Sunday school come next Sunday. Okay? Now, faithfulness, faith comes first, then faithfulness. And if I want my dream to be a reality, there's another little word I need to plug in here, and that's the word work. You know, one of the missionaries, I think it's attributed to William Carey, said, you know, you pray as if everything depended on God, then you work as if everything depends on you. Now, those two things go hand in hand. Obviously, and I wrote down here number four, we do pray, and I'll get to that in a minute. But you and I, if we want our dream to become reality, we've got to roll up our sleeves and go to work. You know, the 21 years that I've been coming here, I noticed this morning when I pulled up on the parking lot, there are more buildings here now than there were 20 years ago. Well, how is that possible? Somebody dreamed a dream. And I believe there might be a little dab of work in that. I noticed last night, whenever I got here just before dark, I noticed the buses out there, and some of you were out there getting them ready. This morning when I pulled up, all the buses were headed out. They were already gone. I believe there might be a little bit of work in that. All those kids that are here in the buildings and being helped and worked with right now, there's just a smidgen of work involved in that. Yeah. Well, maybe smidgen's not the right word. Some of you will correct me on that. Now, but you say, what's the deal here? We're dreaming the dream. Some of the youngsters sitting here, you have no idea how much impact what the ministry here is having on them for later. I wrote a piece for the Sword. I had the idea, and I sat down when I got up first this morning and put my pen to work. And you'll see it in the soul winning column, I think second issue in January. And I call it the Jerusalem factor. Acts 1:8. Jesus said, "You'll be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost part." Well, you know, the uttermost part is halfway around the world somewhere, or halfway across the country. Now, what the uttermost part needs is a messenger. I'm not there, you're not there, but we need to send a messenger to the uttermost part. Well, where does the messenger come from? It comes from Jerusalem, the home base. That was being written to the folks in Jerusalem. He was talking to the folks in Jerusalem. So the home base, if you don't build the home base, the uttermost never has a prayer. Some of these kids right here, and believe you me, I can look them all over. I can check their pedigree. I can find out what families are out of them and all that. And I could not tell you. I could not. I'm guessing Brother Ross could not tell you. You could not tell me which one of those will be the messenger to the uttermost. But you've already had some of them. They were here 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago. They went to Bible college where they are now. They're off out across the country, around the world somewhere. I know you all have had some from here who've done that. Now, so what is the deal? The work we do in our Jerusalem winds up impacting somebody way beyond our Jerusalem. So if I dream the dream and I want my dream to be a reality, faith, faithfulness, work, and yes, we pray. I have been in over my head for so long. I mean, for so long, I need the Lord's help. Otherwise, he and I both are going to be embarrassed, you know. And I don't mean that in a negative way at all. I just want to do more than what I'm capable of doing. And I know that if I have the Lord's help, we can get more done. I had a tree down yesterday, blew down in the storm. We didn't get a tornado in our town, but we did get some wind. And I had a tree down. And actually, it's another house that I own, not the house we live in. And one of the neighbors called and told me that it was down. And so I went over there, and this is a guy. I met him. I've owned that house maybe for, I don't know, 8 or 9 years. And I met him when I bought the house. The day I bought it at public auction, I don't think I've ever seen him since. But anyway, I went over there and was dealing with him, trying to let him know we'd get the tree cleaned up because it fell into his yard, barely missed his truck. We're standing there chatting. They're very warm, very friendly, he and his wife. And I did not dream about that tree falling. But that tree gave me an opportunity. So while we were standing there talking, I said, Ron, and I'd already told him, in fact, he heard me. I made the call to the guy that I know who trims trees and set up a time for him to do that tomorrow in the morning. He'll go trim the tree up. And I said, Ron, before I go, I said, let me ask you something. I said, has anybody talked to you all about heaven lately? By the way, that's one of my lead questions. I said, anybody talked to you all about heaven lately? He said, nope, nobody has. I said, so I asked him another question or two. He told me right quick he wasn't saved. She told me she was. She goes to church anyway. He was backpedaling fairly quickly on this, but then he agreed then he agreed to let me talk to him later this week when we could go in the house and sit down. He really didn't want to yesterday for whatever reason. I mean, I know why, but just didn't want to. But I got a promise out of him that he'll let me come by. In fact, I plan to go by over there tomorrow when the guy's cutting the tree. And you say what's going on here? This guy, and he told me that some others, what he said was, some others have tried to save me. And I told him, I said, well, I'll tell you right now, I can't do that. I said, but I know who can. Now, I got one on the string here that's more than I can handle. There's already been some other people made an effort there. I don't know whether I'm going to get it done or not, but I'm sure asking the Lord to help me. You see, there are times when I just need to look up and say, Lord, I can't handle this, but I know you can help me. I'm just one little guy, but you can help me. So in order to make our dream reality, faith, faithfulness, work, pray, and I've got to be a giver as well. I need to be a giver. A lot of ways to do that. Some of them are money related, but not all of them are. You're doing the Christmas parties. I bet you a bunch of you all have been involved in helping that happen. Well, that's giving. Getting the kids here on the buses, that's just getting them here. That's giving. You're giving your time, giving your energy, giving your dedication. I still like those cookies. I mean, that's a great idea. Now, I'm thinking right now about my employees at the Sword. And I will, as I do every year. In fact, I've already got a little nook set aside, and one of the ladies in the office is helping me to put together some things for staff. And I've got my Christmas bags all set up that I take every year to the McDonald's where I eat breakfast, to where my shirts get done at the laundry, to the bank that I do business with. I got 60 bags set up, and we're stashing those with all kinds of goodies. In fact, this Glimpse of Jesus book will be one of the things that goes in the bag this year. And all of that, I've been doing that for, well, more than 30 years, probably close to 40 now. That Betty and I have been doing those Christmas bags, places where we do business all year long. We just go in and say, thank you for being so good to us. We appreciate it so much. You all have been so kind to us all year. We want to do just a little something at Christmas time. Now, you say, what are you doing? Well, the giving opens the door of opportunity. I've told you before, I've lost track of how many people I've led to Christ in McDonald's. Businessmen who are there that I've gotten acquainted with, employees who work there, and just, you say, what in the world? You're dreaming the dream. Just dreaming. Some of those folks, some of them are white, some of them are black, some of them are brown, some of them are young, some of them are old. But dreaming that dream, believing what God said, being faithful, getting to work, praying, asking God to help, and then being willing to give in order for that to happen, and just putting your heart into it. You know, heart and stuff. This makes all the difference. Makes all the difference. Betty and I have had this conversation a little bit lately. She continues to have issues with a very painful back, and her knees are bothering her, and eyesight has some problems now. And two or three times we've had conversations where, you know, she has said, I wish you didn't too. But I said, you remember whenever we went down the aisle there at West End Baptist Church in Paducah, and I said, I do, you said, I do, and we were talking about that for better, for worse thing. I said, well, some of the, and I said, so, you know, whenever, on a day when it's worse, What do we do? Well, we still keep our heart right in what we're doing here. And whether it's your marriage or your church or whatever, heart is a huge part of all of this. Now, I wrap this up, and I mean, obviously, I'm thinking about us doing Christmas right. I'm thinking about us kicking off the new year right. I'm thinking about us not resting on the laurels of what we did last year and the year before. I'm thinking about, man, what can't we do? What can we do in 2022 that will be what the Lord wants done, that'll get accomplished? I mean, no doubt there are people that you've cultivated a year or two or three who still haven't given the Lord their heart, and this may be the year when they'll do it. You just never know. And whoever they are, you just stay at it. I had an appointment yesterday that I will reset, but I had a lunch date yesterday with somebody that the whole deal was, in fact, I was going to drive 100 miles out of my way just to make the lunch appointment. But after the storms hit, I called him and we agreed to wait a few days. But the whole point of that lunch, from my perspective, was to try to win that guy to Christ. And you know, you say you drive 100 miles out of your way any day. You say, why? Because I like this verse. It says, "Behold, the dreamer cometh." And I'm just owning up to it. I'm telling you, I am a dreamer. And I got a lot of dreams, some of which haven't come to fruition yet, but I'm still dreaming them. And I think the little game plan I just went down through here with faith, faithfulness, work, prayer, giving, etc. I think that is the game plan for seeing our dreams come to reality. Those old boys, they looked at Joseph and they said, "Behold, the dreamer cometh." They were throwing rocks at him. They had no idea that that'd get etched in the scripture, and some of us would be looking at it for generations to come saying, "Hey, I'm a dreamer, and you fuss at me if you want to, but I'm going to dream the dream." And may the Lord help us all to get a dream and go about trying to live it in the year coming. Dear Lord, we thank you for every blessing you give, for the sweetness that you provide in our life because that you're our Savior. And dear Lord, help us that we'll make this Christmas season a worthy celebration about Jesus, not about some substitute, but about Jesus. And I pray, dear Lord, you'll just give every one of us heart and vision to dream the dream for the days that are coming. And we'll thank you. Bless the service coming and the service tonight, I pray. Thank you for these, our friends, and the privilege we have to labor together. In Jesus' precious name, amen.